Come on now. Do you believe he is awesome? He can move mountains. Hallelujah. Because he is an awesome God. Do not put him in a box.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Pentecost Sunday is little noticed in many Christian churches today, but this evening, Pastor Brian Grant is going to show us three reasons why the importance of the miracle of Pentecost should be recognized the year through by every believer as foundational to our identity and to our sense of mission in Christ Jesus. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of his message, Power at Pentecost, the Baptism of the Holy Spirit.
The story of the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost is one of the greatest stories in the Bible, with many amazing features. I'm sure this story would make a great action movie. For this story includes violent rushing winds, divided tongues of fire, people spontaneously hearing and speaking foreign languages they had never learned. And to top it off, by the time everything had ended, 3,000 people who had previously rejected Jesus. If you really stop to think of it, many of these 3,000 may have been among those in Jerusalem just 50 days earlier when Jesus was crucified. But here they were now getting saved and coming to know the Savior. You know, when we think of that, we realize we should never give up on our unsaved friends. Amen? For no matter how far away from God someone may seem to be, sometimes we say, I've heard people say about people they think are too far gone. I was going to use my Jamaican colloquialism. I'm going to say, in Jamaica they say, him too bad to save. In other words, he's too far gone to get saved. But I'm so glad that is not true. For there is never a sinner so far from God, but Jesus can bring him home. Amen. And my friend, it could be that you're listening and you're saying, man, I wonder if God is willing to save me. There is never a sinner so far from God that Jesus can't bring you home and doesn't desire to bring you home. And it is our desire and our prayer that you will come to trust the Savior today. The dramatic events of Pentecost may seem hard to believe, but these amazing things did happen. What is described for us in Acts chapter 2, where God gave us an account of the birth of the Christian church. And today, as many churches around the world celebrate Pentecost Sunday, I'm using as my theme, Power at Pentecost, the Baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you're a visitor to the GCA, just notice that in your bulletin is an insert which you may feel you may want to use to follow along. Because here's the first thing I want you to write down if you're taking notes. The day of Pentecost is one of seven important festivals Jews celebrate each year. It takes place 50 days after Passover and celebrates the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. Pentecost is therefore very important to Jews because it was one of the seven important festivals. But although Christians often emphasize Christmas and Easter, quite often very little emphasis is put on Pentecost. Can I be honest? Even right here at GCA, sometimes, and we need to change that, sometimes we never even mention that it's Pentecost Sunday. But Pentecost is very important. Christmas, write this down, Christmas signifies that God is what? With us. Because God came down to us in the person of Jesus. Christmas signifies that God is with us. Easter signifies that God is what? For us. Because it was then that Jesus died on the cross and was raised again for our justification. Because of what Jesus did at that Easter celebration, we have life and we have it more abundantly. Amen. Easter signifies that God is for us, but Pentecost signifies what? Help me say it together. That God is in us. Amen. Amen. At Pentecost, the Spirit of God came down, and listen, every believer in Jesus Christ right now is indwelt by the Spirit of God. God lives in us. Wow. What possibilities that brings. The Almighty, awesome God. We have been singing, my God is awesome, amen. And that this awesome God, by the power of the Spirit of God, He lives in us. Before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit would come on someone for a specific purpose. But once that task was over, the Holy Spirit would leave. Sadly, some Christians haven't gotten this, that is, things have changed. Because sometimes we're still quoting Psalm 51:11, where the Bible says, we hear David praying, Lord, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. I hear Christians still talking about, Lord, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. This verse has nothing to do with a born-again believer. You see, that's what happened before Pentecost. But when what happened at Pentecost, the Spirit came to live in us and He will be with us forever. Hallelujah. Since Pentecost, a born again believer need not pray that prayer anymore because the Holy Spirit of God will never leave us. You just missed a good place to shout. I'm so glad the Holy Spirit lives in me and will never leave me. Today I want to share with you three ways in which the baptism of the Holy Spirit has provided power for every Christian. Here's the first thing I want us to write down. The baptism of the Holy Spirit provides power for unity. The baptism of the Holy Spirit provides power for unity. And in case you don't think we need power to unite, I tell you, lack of unity is one of the biggest challenges the church faces and Christians, anyone around the world faces. We love to be disunited. No wonder there's so many wars going on. Am I right? Are there a lot of wars? What a shame. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Here's an important verse of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Notice it's in the past tense as it speaks to believers in Jesus Christ. For by one Spirit we were what? We were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Did you notice one of the big reasons for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What does it say? We were baptized into one body, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink of one Spirit. All born again Christians have been united by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For on the day of Pentecost, God baptized the entire church, past, present, and future, into the body of Christ. And so if you're a born-again believer, you're my brother or you're my sister. Amen? We're one in Christ. That's why any Christian who has a problem with the race or social status of other Christians had better watch out. Sometimes we get saved, and because of our the size of our salary, or the color of our skin, or how we were raised. We think we're better than somebody else. But you had better watch out if you're a Christian when your little nose starts going up in the air and you think you're better somebody else. And as a result, some Christians feel that they should only identify with people of their own race and status. But my friend, write this down. What really makes us brothers and sisters is not race. But what? Grace. But grace. It ain't race. It's grace. Every born-again Christian is a child of God and a member of the royal aristocracy of heaven, not because of their race, but hallelujah, because of God's grace. Grace, grace, the song says, marvelous grace, hallelujah. Because of the grace of God, today we can say we are children of the Most High God. Baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. Thank God for His grace. Have you responded to God's grace? Are you sure you're born again? Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? Thank God for His grace. It doesn't matter who you are or what you have done. Thank God this grace is greater than all our sins. And the grace of God can transform your life today. On the day of Pentecost, there were Jews from many parts of the world who had come to Jerusalem for this important Jewish festival. And that day, with thousands of people looking on, God miraculously gave the apostles and those with them the gift of tongues. And so I want us to look at Acts chapter 2 to see exactly what happened. Acts chapter 2 verses 1 through 11. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 5, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused. So here you had Jews who were from every country. They were born in other places. They did not all speak the same language. They were here to worship, but they were not all from the same, speak the same language. When the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? The lowbrow people. How is it that we hear each in our language in which we were born? How is it these Galileans are speaking the languages and where we come from? Persians and Medes and Elamites and people from Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia. This is Egypt, Cyrene, on and on. People from Rome, Cretans and Arabs. Verse number 11. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Hallelujah. An incredible miracle had happened. Listen. You know, we have different opinions on tongues. But it's very significant that the tongues spoken by the apostles and those with them was very unlike what many regard as tongues today. It's very important. For much of what is called tongues today cannot be interpreted by language experts. Are you aware that studies have been done? Recordings have been made by people who are speaking in tongues, or so they say. And it has been taken for interpretation. But the language experts are not able to interpret it. Because a lot of what is said to be tongues today cannot be interpreted by language experts. For they cannot be identified as actual known languages. But what we find here in Acts 2 were actual known languages. Spoken by the Jews in the Jewish diaspora. These unlearned disciples of Jesus were miraculously communicating the gospel in languages they did not know. God still does that today, by the way. Sometimes missionaries on the mission field end up coming in contact with tribes, and God miraculously allows them to speak to these tribes, although they don't know the language. The church was off to an incredible start as thousands of Jewish people, the Bible says 3,000 Jewish people that were coming from all over the world, were now hearing the gospel and were responding. But initially, the church was all Jews. But Jesus did not die for Jews only. Hallelujah. Most of us don't look like Jews, although you may be a Jew, and you know, you don't have to look any way nowadays to be a Jew. In fact, when we go to Israel, we'll find there are a lot of Jews who just look just like us. You remember some years ago, there was a big airlift that brought a whole ton of Jews from Ethiopia. But it's amazing how God used the gift of tongues. It was an amazing thing how God used this gift to show that He was bringing everybody together. And so if you don't mind, let's jump over to Acts of the Apostles chapter 10. And we're going to read for a little while here. So keep your eyes open and don't gloss over because we're reading. Because this part of the scriptures is very, very important. We're going to read from Acts chapter 10 verse 1 to verse 16. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. So just forget, remember though, this is a Gentile. God appears to him. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, God says, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon at Cana, whose house is by the sea. Of course, when we go to Israel, they like to take us and show us Simon's house. I have a feeling it may not really be the right one because a few thousand years have passed. But at least we know it was Joppa. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him who had departed, Cornelius, and when the angel had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their way and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray. About the sixth hour, then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Wait, watch out now. Because God is going to say something to Peter through this trance. Peter sees heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to Peter, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, not me. I don't eat pork. He said, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Peter's responding to God, God, I know you said, but not me. I don't eat that stuff. That's unclean stuff. God was setting him up for something big. And a voice spoke to him again the second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times. And the object was taken up into heaven. Whoa, God is about to do something big. He's allowed Peter to see in this vision that God is a revolutionary God. You don't put him in a box and say, this is the way it must be. Amen. So let me point out two things as I pause. Cornelius was a high-ranking Roman soldier who would have been despised by the Jews, not only because they're regarding him as an unclean Gentile, but also because Jews hated Roman soldiers because they were mistreated by them. So, there was no way that if Cornelius sends a message for Peter, Peter is going to respond. Because he has no interest in hanging around with any Roman soldier. And after what the Roman soldiers had done to Jesus, there is no way they were going anywhere. He was going anywhere with a Roman centurion. But God had given him this vision to prepare him for what was about to happen. So can we continue the story in Acts chapter 10 verse 17? You got your Bible? Let's keep reading. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, he's mulling out around in his mind what this vision meant. The Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them. The Holy Spirit is telling him, listen, despite your attitude to Gentiles, get up and go with them. For I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am him whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. What a mighty God we serve! What an amazing way God can set up stuff. Yesterday we celebrated how God set this thing up with this young fellow from Jamaica and this girl from India, and how God miraculously brought these two people together. What an amazing God we serve. He can set it up. Oh, perhaps you're going through something in your life and you're so stressed out. How can this thing come together? Oh, God, oh, my God is awesome. Awesome. Do you believe he's awesome? Come on now. Do you believe he is awesome? He can move mountains. Hallelujah. Because he is an awesome God. Do not put him in a box. God had softened Peter's heart and was about to use him to do something stupendous.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.